And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
Marcus, what happened?
I was changing my oil and I spilled some on the floor.
Oh, well, use these $50 bills to wipe it up.
Perfect. Got any more?
Yeah, take a couple hundred.
Stop. Instead of using money, use an old rag. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
This is the Rental Income Podcast, where we talk to owners of rental properties and give you actionable tips and advice that will help you make more money while dealing with less hassle. And now your host, Dan Lane.
I put together a list of 7 things I wish I knew earlier about renting properties, and you can download your free copy. Just go to my website, freelandlordgift.com. Joining me on the show today is Bree Schmidt, and Bree has done something really, really incredible. She has built a portfolio of rental properties that are bringing in $35,000 a month. Bree, congratulations. That is absolutely incredible.
Thank you very much.
Tell me about your portfolio. What are your properties like?
Well, we have two portfolios in two different markets. So our first portfolio we started building about 4 years ago. It's in Chicago. We primarily buy 2 to 4 unit properties. We started with our first one that we lived in. And these are higher end A, B neighborhood type properties, you know, fully rehabbed, granite, stainless with higher end tenants.
Okay.
The second portfolio we started building about 10 months ago in the city of Milwaukee. We still do 2 to 4 unit properties up there. But it is a solid B neighborhood.
Okay.
So a little bit lower class tenants, different tenant problems than the higher end areas. And we have 18 buildings up there.
And Milwaukee, how far is that from Chicago? Like 2 hours?
It's about 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me about the Chicago portfolio. A lot of people are tempted to go into lower income properties because the returns are generally better than you're going to find in the A-class properties. But your management is typically easier in the A-class properties. Was that a consideration at all, that you wanted less work managing the properties?
For sure. I mean, at the time when we started with Chicago, I mean, we really didn't start with the idea in mind of being real estate investors. We were just looking to reduce our overhead costs by living in one unit of a triplex. And then it ended up being really easy. So
I love hearing that. That's great.
It's been a dream. I mean, we've had those properties now for going on 4 years. We bought them completely rehabbed. I maybe get one tenant call per unit per year. My tenants all pay online. I talk all the time about people asking me about hiring property managers. Like, I would be really upset hiring a property manager for Chicago because the amount of money I would pay, and I probably spend 2 hours a month to maybe 5 hours a month managing those properties. So I would hate to pay someone
right.
to do that when it is a lot easier.
Is it a different situation though with Milwaukee, with those being a B-class property, so they're not as nice as the A-class. Is there more management with those properties?
Oh, yeah.
What kind of stuff are you running into?
So it was an interesting year for us. Like I said, we live 2 hours away. We do have a property manager that works for us, and he and I kind of work together right now.
Okay.
Because we've acquired so many units. We've acquired 51 units in 10 months.
Wow.
And yeah, it's been insane. So that's something that I can't expect him to do by himself, but he's had experience in that market. So it was a big learning experience for me because a lot of the things that I wanted to do or how I do things here in Chicago don't really translate up there. So one of the big challenges for us was rent collection.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a challenge for us. A lot of the tenants pay cash. They don't have checking accounts.
Mm.
They will pay us half rent on their first paycheck of the month and half rent on their second paycheck of the month. So that is my number one challenge and transition, was going from all my tenants pay online in the first of the month and I don't have to ever talk to them about late payments, to, you know, we're getting about half of our rent maybe half to a third of our rent after the fifth of the month.
That's incredible that it's so different.
So different.
When you were looking in Milwaukee, why did you go with a B-class property and not an A-class property?
So the reason being, and this is how I kind of foresee it, is I can buy A-class properties in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Chicago, the north side of Chicago where I invest, is an appreciation and an okay cash flow market.
Mm-hmm.
And I strongly believe in the Chicago market. If I'm going to move my money out of Chicago, it has to be something that gives me a greater benefit. The benefit was trading off the appreciation for the return.
And so the returns are drastically different in Milwaukee than you're going to find in Chicago?
The units rent for about double per dollar spent than they do in Chicago. But some people, you know, you see that number and you just think, oh my God, I'm getting double the rent and double the profit. That's not the case. It is so much more labor intensive and our expenses are so much higher. So even at the end of the day, we still make more profit per dollar invested in Milwaukee. But we're not expecting to sell the properties for a profit at any time. And it requires a full-time team to handle them.
You don't have a property manager from a property management company. You've got someone working directly for you?
Correct.
Wow. Okay. And how did you find him?
It's actually a really funny story. He was selling a triplex that we went to go see. Before we had decided to buy anything, we were looking at properties kind of all over different areas of Milwaukee. And he had interacted with his tenants how we interact with our tenants, which is like, we know their names, we know their kids' names, mm-hmm. you know, we know like what their hobbies are. So when we go buy our properties, like we end up talking to them for an hour. And he had that same relationship with his tenant. So as we were walking out, we had told him we wanted to make an offer and we'd asked him if he had any more properties to sell. This was his only one, but it turns out his mother-in-law owned like 50 properties in the area. So she ended up selling us our first chunk of the portfolio. And he and his wife have already been managing these properties for years.
So we
started the discussion of, you know, he said that he wanted to do real estate full-time. We wanted a full-time property manager, but we couldn't afford him with just a couple of properties at that point. So we talked about it. He's a teacher. Actually tomorrow is his last day of work. I'm so, so excited. So we set up the goal of by the time his school year ends, we would have enough properties to pay him a full-time salary. So this whole past year has been both of us kind of working together, because he does work full-time as a teacher.
Wow. That is really, really awesome. He must be so excited that you guys have done this. He really hit the jackpot. That's awesome.
And hopefully a lot less stressed.
Yeah, totally.
Been, you know, working his butt off for us and making sure that as little as possible falls through the cracks. It's been hard.
So since July, you have increased your gross rental income by $28,000.
Yep.
How many properties have you bought since July?
18 buildings, 51 units.
Wow.
And so we've bought 13 buildings, 39 units since December. So in just 5 months.
How are you? That just seems like an incredible number. How did you do that?
Lots of hard work. I mean, the logistics and operations of it took obviously a lot of dedication.
Mm-hmm.
Financially, we were able to cash out on one of our properties in Chicago had appreciated enough where we can pull out enough cash to buy the first half of the properties. And then the second half of the properties, we used the money from my brother. He put a loan in his house for us and lent us money for a year.
Okay.
To finance the second half. And now we are paying him back with that same property we cashed out on, has appreciated even more, and we're doing another refi on it.
Are you doing, for some of these bigger properties, I assume these are commercial loans that you're getting?
Correct. Okay. Everything in Chicago has traditional like residential financing in our names, and everything in Milwaukee is under our LLC and has commercial financing.
Was it tricky getting the commercial, when you got the first commercial loan, was that tricky because you didn't have a commercial background? All your properties had been residential. Was that tricky getting that approved?
It was tricky getting the relationship started. You know, we were out of state. We only had three properties. We'd only been doing this for, you know, 2 years on our tax returns. So it was a real struggle for us to find a bank that wanted to work with us. And initially when we were looking in Milwaukee, we were looking at a C area that had even better returns. And a lot of the banks didn't want to deal with that part of town. So when we decided to move to a B area, take less returns, we had actually paid a broker to establish a relationship with us. So the broker, we paid him 2 points on the first loan to initiate the relationship with our bank. And ever since then, it's been pretty easy.
How did you find that broker?
That's a really good question. I had called and emailed everybody humanly possible because I couldn't find anything on my own. I was cold calling bank and saying, you know, like, listen, this is the portfolio I want to buy. Here's our, you know, assets. Here's our experience. And no one wanted to work with me because my experience wasn't that, you know, solid. And we were out of state. Those were the two big problems. So it was through a guy on LinkedIn. I'd never met him before. I'd emailed him and said, like, here's my problem. Here's what I need. He's like, I know a guy. It's going to cost you. I'm like, whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
And so he got the relationship set up, and the broker and I have talked over the past year, and I've given him other referrals because we would have never been able to do this without our relationship with our bank.
Okay.
I was like literally just blind emailing strangers.
Wow.
I probably sent out like 100 emails in a week because we just couldn't find anything, and not having people in that market that we knew, it was very, very difficult.
Is there any advice that you would give anybody that is looking to invest out of state? I know a lot of times people live in areas where it's just too expensive. The numbers just don't work. And in so many different parts of the country, you can find better cash flow deals. Is there any wisdom that you can give someone that's looking to invest out of state?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the number one, I mean, we live 2 hours away. So I'm up there, you know, probably when things are slow, I'm up there at least once a month. When things are busy, when we're doing a new acquisition, I'm up there usually 3 days a week, but it's still out of state. And the number one advice I would give is you have to be prepared to scale. Because I have bought so many properties off of out-of-state investors who are failing in that market because they're PM. It's because of their property management. You know, when you only own two duplexes out of state, you're not the number one priority on their list.
Right.
And so I tell anyone that talks about investing out of state, you need to be at a position where you could scale within 12 months and afford a full-time property manager, or find someone in that market who already has scale, like a turnkey company or another partner, like, you know, for example, someone like me, that can help you leverage that scale. But without it, I have seen so many properties that are almost bankrupt.
Yeah.
And it's all because the PM, you know, doesn't care and you're not a priority to them.
Yeah, that's so important, getting a good property manager.
It's night and day different. It really is.
With having both markets, what do you think is better looking back on it now? Are you happier with the portfolio in Milwaukee or the one in Chicago? Which, I guess, if somebody was looking to invest in A class properties or B class properties, what would you tell them to do?
I would tell them to do both.
Okay.
I mean, our Milwaukee portfolio supplements our monthly income, so that I can do this full time. Mm-hmm. Our Chicago portfolio has appreciated so much that I think it's going to be the number one driver of our long-term wealth. And we've been able to do Milwaukee because of Chicago, because we've had that appreciation.
Okay.
You know, so they kind of go hand in hand. I would not sell any of my Chicago properties. I would sell my Milwaukee stuff first, probably, because I think the long-term wealth gain is in our A-class stuff.
And one final question, the pay structure for your property manager, are you giving him a part of the rent, or do you have him on a salary? How do you how do you pay him?
So we actually just changed his structure. We pay him a flat percentage of gross rents collected.
Okay.
Which would, you know, if we are, we bought, 12 units last week. Outside of those 12 units, we are fully occupied. And even with those 12 units, we have two vacancies and we're expecting leases this weekend on them. So when it's fully rented, which is very reasonable to ask of him, then it covers his salary. We also decided to do a bonus structure for him as well, to bonus and incentivize him to keep tenants. And if tenants do leave, to rent out those units back to back, so that when one tenant leaves on the 30th, we have a new tenant moving out on the 1st.
Okay.
So he is then bonused for essentially reducing our vacancy costs. We went back and forth a while on it, on how to structure it. Because the great thing about a lot of the tenants that we have and have been with the buildings and with the previous owners is they've been there for years. Mm-hmm. You know, we have some tenants who have been there for 8 years, and when we took over, they stayed with us. And we want, you know, keeping tenants happy is the number one priority. Your largest costs are coming from turnover and vacancy. So we wanted to make sure that he was bonused on keeping tenants happy.
Yeah, that's also really good to have that consistency, because the way that you manage the properties might be different from the way the previous owner managed it. But if the
totally.
Tenants have that relationship with the property manager, it's probably a lot easier to keep tenants, I would think.
Of course. And
yeah.
We do, you know, we follow the mindset of we pretty much will go a little bit above and beyond. So if the tenant asks for something and it's really not legally our responsibility to do it, we'll still do it, just to make sure that the tenant's happy and that they stay.
Well, Bree, that is an incredible story. Congratulations on everything that you've built. Are you still buying, or do you feel like you're happy now with your portfolio?
35,000 was the number I had promised my husband that we would at least stop at for a while, because it's been a really, you know, 100-hour work weeks for the past 3 years while I was doing both and then doing this full time. So this is now our point of enjoyment. We still will be buying more, I'm sure. We need a 6-month break.
Totally understand. All right. Well, Bree, it's time now for us to get into the lightning round. We've got 5 questions in 60 seconds. Are you up for the challenge? Do you think you can beat the buzzer?
I think I will try.
All right, let's do it.
Now, the Rental Income Podcast Lightning Round. 5 rapid-fire questions and answers in 60 seconds.
The first question is, what's your favorite real estate book?
The Millionaire Real Estate Investor.
Number 2, the number one fear that I hear from people all the time on why they don't want to own a rental property is they don't want to get a call at 3 a.m. that a toilet's clogged. As a landlord, have you ever gotten this call?
I have not. We have gotten, you know, 8 o'clock on Friday night calls that the heater is out that we've had to deal with. But generally, if it's not an absolute emergency, our tenants wait till the morning to deal with it.
Number 3, if you had a property sitting vacant for 6 months, you had a potential renter apply that had horrible credit and a spotty work history, would you rent to them or let the property sit?
Let the property sit.
If you could give one piece of advice to a new landlord, what would it be?
Know your market, and trust your gut instinct.
And number 5, would you rent a property to your best friend?
No.
Bree, congratulations. We did it.
Thank
Great
you.
Job. Great job. Well, why don't you tell us where we can reach you online if anyone wanted to reach out to you?
Sure. I have a blog site. It hasn't been updated in about 6 months, though. It's chicagobree.com.
Okay.
And then I also have a website for turnkey investors called turnkey-reviews.com. Either one of those two sites I can be reached at.
Awesome. All right. Well, Bree, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll be back with a new interview next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.